The second joyful mystery, the Visitation. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 39.
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his posterity forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and returned to her home.
The second joyful mystery, the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Elizabeth. There is a line in an old hymn which says simply, "A man that looks on glass, on it may stay his eye, or, if he pleases, through it pass, and there the heaven aspire." Those lines came back to me in the context of another image completely. I was thinking of the famous windows in the old children's programme Play School. It's not my generation, but I used to sit with my children occasionally and watch it. Every morning we were invited to choose one of the various shaped windows, and then we would go through it and discover the whole new area of understanding beyond, courtesy of the great image-making factory of the television. Another world awaited on the other side of the glass. To those familiar with praying the rosary, this will be a pattern that you recognise. We are presented in each mystery with a window. We can either simply dwell on the configuration of it, rattle off our prayers, and be done, or we can pass through it. We can use it as a portal to the extraordinary revelation of the divine that lies behind each image, each scriptural story, each revelation of the life of Christ. For each of these windows leads us into the gospel life of Jesus. We need, of course, no television, for by the Holy Spirit, God uses our own image-making factory to represent the truth, the way, and the life to our minds and hearts and souls, by the power of his word and by the prayers of his saints. In this meditation, as with all the others we will look at this week, we can barely scrape the surface of the revelation that dwells herein. But we needn't worry too much about that, as we have a lifetime to daily immerse ourselves in its depths. And please remember that these short talks are only a way in. the work of any retreat is the work of the Holy Spirit, not of the smarty pants sitting in the chair talking to you. It's God's work, right? This is a means to an end. The visitation. Here, of course, is a place where two impossibles meet. We have the woman who was too old to conceive, and the mother-to-be who is a virgin. One of the great ironies is that such impossibilities should, for 19 centuries of human history, have been considered quite within the capabilities of Almighty God. But in our time, when man can confect both miracles in a test tube, it has become a commonplace to doubt their possibility. The old mother-to-be, beyond hope, suddenly to be blessed and challenged by a child. And what a child! The young woman, out of time, to find herself with the hope of Israel in her womb, the disbelief of her neighbours, the danger of death if Joseph rejected her. So much excitement, so much danger. The salvation of man hangs by a fragile thread. Nowadays, I suspect both women would have been recommended a termination. The initiative here is God's. The response is in the heart of his faithful servants, and both are required for the rescue to take place. Regardless of the immensity of the circumstances, overwhelming, glorious, and fraught as they are, Mary's response is the natural one of a mother-to-be. She wants to share the good news of her pregnancy with the family, and most naturally, with a friend in the same situation. "I'm expecting a baby," ought to be a cry of joy from the lips of any young woman. It takes a joyless and eugenicist age like ours to reduce a baby to a fetus and see any such announcement as the failure of contraception. We are told that Mary goes with haste, as quickly as she could, to the hill country of Judah. Her conversation with Zechariah is limited by the old man's enforced dumbness, but her greeting to Elizabeth is electrifying. The word-bearer speaks the word, and the six-month child in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. Forerunner and fulfilment have met, and Scripture records Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. She proclaims that Mary is most blessed among women, that the fruit of Mary's womb is blessed, and that this child is the Lord himself. Elizabeth is telling us Mary is to be Mater Dei, the Mother of God. "My Lord," she refers to Jesus as. And we are given here in this mystery, in this scriptural scene, the second part of our great Rosarian prayer. It is entirely scriptural, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we know it is both authoritative and pure prayer. And then there is an addendum which we do not pray, but which we would do well to bear in mind. Elizabeth adds this: "Blessed is she who believed that the promise made to her by her Lord would be fulfilled." This is both a promise to Mary and, I suppose, to Elizabeth, but it contains within it a promise to all the faithful. There is blessing from God on each one of us who maintains faithfully that God's promise, God's sovereign purpose, will be fulfilled. It is the virtue of hope and faith together that fuels the life of the believer. And to endure, these must be encompassed in the primary virtue of the love of God. We love him. We long for his will to be done. We believe that it will be. Only so can we travel faithfully through the valley of the shadow. Only so can we overcome temptation. Only thus can we triumph over demons. Only thus can we encourage the faithful and bear Christ into the world for the salvation of souls. The rosary here helps us not only to enter into the historical biblical scene and dwell with the saints, but it also helps us to see our part in it all. Like Elizabeth, we are never too old to be part of God's miraculous provision. We may be private people, but we prepare the next generation. We continue to pray in hope. We are open to the Holy Spirit. We are to be forerunners for others, preparing the hearts and minds for the coming of Christ into their lives. We can leap for joy at the nearness of Christ. Is this what is happening to our hearts every time we approach the altar of sacrifice? God with us, Emmanuel giving himself to us in love at the heart of the mystery of the Mass. We are never too young to be open to the sovereign will of God. Why, I often wonder, do we as churches assume that no tasks can be sensibly given to the faithful until they are over 50, or better still, retired? God speaks powerfully to the heart of the young, and we older ones should bless that and encourage it. Too often we send them away both personally and institutionally to get over it. Come to terms with the real world. Wait till the enthusiasm has died down and maybe come back later. Oddly enough, they usually don't. Expect God to be at work. Expect his promises to be fulfilled. The great saints are unique only in their utter commitment, not in the fact of God's wanting them to fulfil their vocation and be empowered by his Holy Spirit. They are the ones who are totally available. For most of our time, that's rather a tall order. But that's the difference between us and the great saints, really. And Mary's response to Elizabeth's divinely inspired encouragement is the great song which has graced evening prayer in all the liturgical traditions down two millennia, the Magnificat. It is a song of the fulfilment of the promise and the prophecy of the ages to come. 1500 years or more, and the promise to Abraham is about to come true in the womb of Mary. 2000 years later, the faithful are still blessing Mary as Mother of God. The Almighty has done great things for me. This is not just Mary's song, though. The Almighty has done great things for me too, and you. He has called us to be open to the Holy Spirit. He has called us to be open to the Word and obedient to it. He has called us to be obedient to our calling. He has called us to be joyful and hopeful and faithful, believing people. He has called us to prepare the way for Jesus in the hearts of many. He has called us to encourage one another in our different but interrelated vocations. He has called us to bear Christ Jesus into the world, whatever the hour, whatever the cost. He has called us to be part of that glorious enterprise that, in the words of the Magnificat and echoed by St. Paul, turns the world upside down and restores creation to its Lord. He has called us to be his church, the ecclesia, the called out of God, the birthplace of the redeemed. He has called us, with Mary and Elizabeth, into the hill country of Judah to share their joy and know that, embarked for glory, life can never be the same again. We move on to our second decade, the Visitation. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those who have most need of thy mercy.
Amen.